Good morning. Welcome to Corinth Christian Fellowship. We're located at 306 East Jefferson Street in Quincy, Florida. This morning I'm going to be using as a subject for which to preach reasons for serving God. Reason for serving God. Our text is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 10 through 21. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 10 through 21. Going to give some reasons for serving God, and we should continue to serve God in the midst of the pandemic. For serving God, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 10 through 21. And it reads with these words, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of God, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of God constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of Christ, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Question: why do we serve God? Why do we serve God? Some serve God because they want to, others because they feel they have to, some because they love to, and others because of the wrong motive, whether it be money, fame, recognition, or praise. But as a Christian, we have to serve God with our entire life, which includes how we live our life and what we think, say, and do. It all must be an act of service to God. Joshua said this in chapter 24, verse 15, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So therefore, Joshua said, y'all can do whatever y'all want to do, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So therefore, we're to make God look supremely, make God look great in all that we say and do. We are to be obedient to God, and we are also to make God look great before the world. We are to take a stand for God. We are to be committed to God. The way we live our life shows others the strength of our commitment and our love and our service to God. Christians are called to serve. Christians are called to service. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. God has planned good work for us to do. God has given us abilities, time, and resources for that purpose. Workmanship, we are God's masterpiece, God's artwork, with a skill and with a purpose by God. God saved us for good work, not by good work. So therefore, good works are a result of salvation. The evangelist D.L. Moody wrote the following word next to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8 in his Bible. I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. What I can do, I ought to do, and what I ought to do, by the grace of God, I will do. And we should pattern after D.L. Moody doing and serving the Lord. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Charles Spurgeon said this, one of the greatest rewards that we ever receive for serving God is the permission to do still more for him. God has a unique plan for each of us to serve him. And in this world, while we're here, we should allow the Holy Spirit to lead us in service to God. In our text, we're going to take a look at five reasons for serving God. First, we are ambassadors for Christ. We have our new life. We receive the love of Christ, the terror of the Lord. And last, we will be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. In verse 20, we are ambassadors for Christ. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. An ambassador is an official representative of one's country who resides in another country. The ambassador is commissioned to be sent out to represent the sender and to announce the message of the sender. We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ, and we have a message to tell. We have a testimony for Jesus Christ, and we are to share it with others. Our citizenship is in heaven, but we represent God's interests on earth. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul said this, for our conversation or our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, we are strangers and pilgrims on earth. The stranger means that someone who dwells alongside, but his home is elsewhere, not a permanent residence. Pilgrim is a visitor or a sojourner. The believer is only passing through the earth on his way home to heaven. So therefore, this world is not our home. Heaven is our home. This earth is just temporarily. It's kind of like if we rent in a place until we get to a permanent residence. Earth is temporary, but heaven is our permanent home. We also notice that we have a duty, and our duty is to reconcile men with Christ. In verses 18 and 19, and all things of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And that word means to restore a relationship, to become from an enemy to a friend. Before salvation, a person is the enemy of God. After salvation, a person is a friend of God. And God brings us back to himself by blotting out our sins and then making us righteous. God reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, for he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God and Him. This ministry of reconciliation means to proclaim, to announce, to make known the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus died in our place and on our behalf. Jesus paid our sin debt in full. An ambassador for Christ shares the good news of the gospel, and that is that Jesus saved, Jesus saved. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, as ambassadors for Christ, we have been entrusted with the gospel. Then in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, therefore we are to take the message of Christ to the end of the world, to the uttermost parts of the world. Take the gospel out. Share it with your neighbor. Share it with your friends. Share it at the store. Share it at the service station. Share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we are ambassadors for Christ. We represent Jesus Christ. So let us lift Jesus Christ up before the world and make Him look good. Next, we have our new life in Christ. In verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. A new creature is just a born-again Christian believer. A new creature can rest assured that his old self and his old ways will never be counted against him. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. No condemnation for the believers. We will not hear a guilty verdict. There will be no punishment. We avoid that awful place called hell. We have passed from death unto life. A new creature delights in pleasing God. Our purpose, desire, understanding are fresh and different. We have a new nature, a new life, and a new behavior. Christians should have a testimony about Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 5, verse 19, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friend and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Jesus healed this man who was demon-possessed and told him to go home to your friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee. Talking about evangelism, talking about soul winning, talking about sharing Jesus Christ with others, telling others what great things the Lord has done for thee. And God is good, God is worthy of our praise. And with great power gave the apostle a witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. And you'll find that in Acts chapter 4, verse 33. The apostles testified of the resurrection of Jesus, were telling others what they had seen with their own eyes, heard with their own ears, and touched with their own hands. They gave personal eyewitness account of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our life as Christians should be a testimony for Jesus Christ, the change that had taken place in our life since being born again. What is your testimony about Jesus? What is your personal testimony? You should have a personal testimony about Jesus, what He means to you, how He changed your life, and life is so much better in Christ Jesus. So we are ambassadors for Christ. We have our new life. We receive the love of Christ in verse 14. For the love of God constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead. The love of God for us caused Him to die for us. And that He died for all. Christ died for all. Those redeemed by faith in His death. Christ died for all. However, all will not be saved. We're not talking about a universal salvation. Those who place their trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, redeemed by faith in his death. When a person believes that Jesus died for them, God takes that person's faith and counts it as his death in Christ. God credits the death of Christ to a believer so that he never has to die. Being born again, you'll never die spiritually. You'll spend an eternity with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Christ died in our place and on our behalf. And the ancient prophet Isaiah in chapter 53, verse 6 says, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Christ died that all might live for him. Christians do not live to themselves. You find in verse 15, they live for God. So therefore, by living for God, we should live to glorify God and to satisfy God. Christ died that we might live unto righteousness. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Christ died to bring us near to God. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, for God, Christ also has once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that it might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened or made alive by the Spirit. Christ died to purify us so that we would be zealous of good work. Titus chapter 2, verse 14, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto him a peculiar people, zealous of good work. Christ died to create a new man. This new man is what a believer is in Christ Jesus, a new creature in the likeness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. This new man, this new believer, this believer in Christ Jesus, love God and live for God. We are ambassadors for Christ. We have our new life in Christ. We receive the love of Christ. And now we're going to take a look at the terror of the Lord in verse 11. Know therefore the terror of the Lord. We persuade men, but we are made manifest unto him, unto God, and our trust also are made manifest in your conscience. The terror of the Lord is God's terrible judgment on sin and the horrors of hell. Terror, fearful situation, alarm, fear. Luke chapter 12, verse 5, but I will forewarn you whom ye fear. Fear him which after he has killed has power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Do not be afraid to witness for Jesus Christ. It may cost you something, but witness for Jesus Christ. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31. This is in reference to unbelievers who reject our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That fearful things is to be judged because of their unbelief, because they refuse to accept Jesus Christ as the personal Savior. And this is the terror of God. We should persuade others about the terror of God. Paul went place to place, seeking to persuade unsaved people to accept Christ as Savior and the impending judgment and the penalty for unbelief about Jesus Christ as Savior. And we should do the same. We should share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let people know that Jesus is coming back again. Let people know that There's a place called heaven and also a place called hell. Let people know that heaven is on reserve for the saints, those who believe in Jesus Christ, those who believe that Jesus died in their place on their behalf, that Jesus paid their sin dead and foot by dying on their cross. So we need to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we should plead with them earnestly and with a sense of urgency. Earnestly means we should be intentional about it, we should be prayerful about it, and we should be sincere about sharing Jesus Christ with a lost and dying world. Sense of urgency, we should press with necessity. Press with necessity. I got to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Hell is a real place. Heaven is a real place too. And whatever place they wind up in, death, that is it. Their destination is set. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Encourage people to do it now. Do it today. Accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Time is in God's hand. So therefore, we don't know when we're going to die, when we're going to leave here. So accept Jesus Christ today. And Jesus discourse with Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Jesus told Nicodemus, a person must be born again to enter heaven. And then in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. Talking about eternal death, separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. For us, salvation is a gift. It is free. It doesn't cost us anything. But for Jesus Christ, it cost him his life to be our Savior. And lastly, we will be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he has done, whether it be good or bad. The judgment seat of Christ is the judgment of Christian believers. We will appear at the judgment seat of Christ. Unbelievers will appear at the great white throne judgment as referenced in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, the great white throne judgment, the judgment for unbelievers. Those who rejected Jesus Christ as their Savior. The judgment of believers will determine his reward and the degree of reward, whether good or bad. Some believers will be ashamed before Christ at his coming. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, and they will suffer loss. The judgment seat of Christ will reveal our service for Christ exactly as they have been. I encourage you to serve the Lord. Good service for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Has your service for God been wholeheartedly, constant, and voluntarily? Have you given your service to God your all? The judgment seat of Christ is a great reason for believers to serve God in a great way. Here am I, send me, O familiar hymn. Hark the voice of Jesus crying. Who will go and work today? Fields are white and harvest waiting. Who will bear the sheaves away? Loud and long the master calls us. Rich reward he offers free. Who will answer gladly saying, here am I, send me. Can Jesus Christ count on you to serve him wholeheartedly? Here am I, send me. Romans' road to salvation. I'm a good person. But the Bible say, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. That's Romans chapter 3, verse 10. Then in Romans 3:23, it states, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Is sin a big deal? Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, eternal separation from our Lord and Jesus Christ. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Why would Jesus die in my place? But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How can I be saved? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then, will God accept me? Romans 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Make today the day of salvation. Do it now. Do it now. Ask the Lord to forgive you your sins so that you can spend an eternity in heaven with him. Just pray a prayer. Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again from the dead. I believe he paid my sin debt in full and purchased my salvation. I repent of my unbelief and place my trust in him and ask him to forgive me and save me. I claim him as my Savior and ask him into my heart and life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you pray this prayer, I urge you to accept Jesus Christ's free gift of salvation to you. Thank you so much for worshiping online with us here at Christian Core Christian Fellowship. We're located at 306 East Jefferson Street in Quincy, Florida. Invite others to worship with us online. And we hope you worship with us when we return with face-to-face worship. We worship on first, second, third, and fourth Sunday, beginning at 10:30. And we also have Bible study on Wednesday evening, beginning at 5 p.m. And remember, you are always welcome at Corinth Christian Fellowship. God bless you.